Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon, Dumisani.
Good afternoon, how are you?
Very well, thank you, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Fantastic, great to hear that. I hope you've had a good day so far as well.
No, so far it's been a pretty good day. I don't know about yourself. How has everything gone? How has the day been, and how has everything gone throughout the day?
Well, I must tell you, I've had a good day, relaxed day as well. So I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Now, no, it's a pleasure to be here.
My elder, the Bible tells us in Acts 17:31 that there will be a day of judgment in which God will judge the world in righteousness. And today's lesson is about exactly that day that some writers describe as dreadful. So, who exactly is going to be judged? Is it the Christians particularly, or perhaps just the sinners?
You know, that's actually something that I've heard. I've heard people saying, you know, no, judgment is only for the wicked. But you know, that's a misconception. The Bible never says that it's just the wicked who are going to be judged. Mm-hmm. I'd like to take us to an actual verse that actually talks about every deed being exposed. And I believe that's in Ecclesiastes, if I'm not wrong. But then it basically says this, and I don't know whether we'll be able to actually turn over there. But then it really just says this. And that's, I think the verse you were talking about came from Acts chapter 17. But I wanted to go to a verse in Ecclesiastes that comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it actually says that every action would be called into judgment, whether good or bad. Mm-hmm. And so if it was just the bad, then if we're saying every thought would be put into, would be called into account or called into judgment, if it was just the Christians, then we wouldn't be talking about the bad, or we wouldn't just be talking about the good and the bad, but we'd be talking about the entire spectrum of people, the good, the bad. We're talking about the Christians, the non-Christians, however, or those who know Christ the way that they're supposed to, and those who do not. Everyone would be called into account. How that would be done and how that is done for each case, let me just put it like this. It's not a one-size-fits-all, if I can put it that way. It's not going to be like, oh, okay, all of you have been grouped as this, and therefore there you go. But every case comes up before heaven as an individual case to say what they knew, what they did not know, and therefore judge that way. So I don't believe God is going to be doing a batch judgment to say, oh, okay, all of you, you're all judged this way, and all of you are judged this way. It's each and every person is judged one by one. That's how the Bible tells us.
Yeah. Now, please do tell us about Daniel's vision for the judgment in heaven, and what does it mean?
Now that one's actually quite a deep one. I'd like us to go to Daniel chapter, because when talking about Daniel's vision, we're talking about the one that comes from Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7 verses 9 to 10. But I don't know if it's okay for us to start from verse 8. If you have it there, it would be nice to start from there and then go from Daniel chapter 7 verses 8 to 10. That way we're all on the same page. Do you have it close by?
I'm just quickly getting to it. Daniel chapter 7, you say?
7. Yes, Daniel chapter 7. Now, let me just set this up. The reason why we're going through this is because Daniel chapter 7, verses 8, 9, and 10.
Okay. All right. Yes, you said the reason why?
Yes, the reason why we're actually going through this is because this gives us a vision of what the judgment actually looks like. I don't want us to have a picture of what people have put into our mind, but rather what God has said for himself what the judgment is like.
I see. Now, verse 8 says, while I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them. And three of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. Number 10, a river of fire was flowing, coming out before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened.
And the books were opened. Now, the reason why I wanted you to read verse 8 was because I wanted us to have the setup and the background behind it all. Mm. We're coming from, in the vision, remember that the part that we're talking about today is only a part of a larger vision that is there in Daniel chapter 7, which talks about the stream of time throughout human history.
Right.
And it starts off from the kingdom of Babylon into the all the way up until the end of time. That is until Christ's second return. It goes through all the kingdoms that have gone past and all the kingdoms that have that are here now, and then actually goes into what the world will be like before Christ actually comes. So the vision that was that we the part of the vision that we see over there in Daniel chapter 7 actually talks of, in Daniel chapter 7 verses 9 and 10 is talking about a time where it's talking about the time after Christ has come to the earth. He has lived, he has died, he has, and then there is a time after that that the first century church goes through its persecution, and then it talks about the time where there is a ruling between, yes, there's after the persecution of the church by that little horn power, and after that time, there's now a time where all these kingdoms are still there, but this little horn power still exists. So that's about roundabout the time in which we're in now. And in during that time, there is a judgment going on in heaven. Now, remember that when Christ comes, he doesn't come and say that, oh, okay, now we will start the judgment. No. He comes with his reward, as the Bible tells us, which means if he's coming with his reward, it is because the judgment has already taken place. Mm-hmm. And so as it is now, we live in a time where Christ, yes, and we talked about Christ as our intercessor now, but remember that he is also, as he is our intercessor, there will come a time where he puts off the robes of being just an intercessor and becomes and puts on the robes of a judge. This is the time at which we're looking at. Right now, we're living in a time where Christ is, yes, interceding for us, but that time will not last forever. Right now, the judgment, the books are opened. Those who professed Christ, those and are judged, and then those who did not profess Christ are judged according to what they know and what they did not know. And so the books are opened, not for the sake of God, but because remember, God knows who is righteous and who is wicked. Mm-hmm. But then it's for the sake of the universe, all those looking in. Remember, this is a court scene where it's like, now God is saying, this is how I have judged, but I want you to see. And he opens it up transparently and says, this is why I have judged just so. And so as we speak right now, there is judgment happening. There is judgment happening right now in the courts of heaven. But there will come a time when that judgment comes to an end. And, well, I'm supposing we're going to have to talk about that another day.
Yep.
But there is a time where there will not be an intercessor for us for a small period of time. The Bible lets us know that for a time, there will not be an intercessor. Christ will have put on his, will have had to prove that indeed these are the ones who have stood righteous. Those who are righteous, let them remain righteous still. Those who are wicked, let them remain wicked. And in that short time that will be there, then those who are righteous will have to stand in front of a holy God without an intercessor. Now, I know we can get into that. There's a whole other program for that, I'm sure. But this is the time that this vision actually tells us of, that yes, when Christ comes, he will come as a judge. He will come with his reward, not to judge, because his judgment is happening even now.
You know, it. You know, some writers actually would describe this as a dreadful day. So do we need to be terrified of that day? Because it does sound frightening, eh?
It does, because, I mean, imagine having to face, imagine if you were to take all the things that we have done, not just the things that people have seen us do, but the things that we have thought, the actions that we haven't done, if we were to face life's record purely and solely from a very objective point of view, we would be scared to put that on a big screen in front of everyone, because we know there are things that we have done wrong. However, remember that yesterday, I think it was a beautiful thing that we went through the lesson yesterday, talking about Christ is our advocate. Mm-hmm. He's not a passive advocate. He's not like, that's not what an advocate is. An advocate is not passive. We have someone, we have a high priest in heaven who actually, who is touched by our infirmities and stands, well, only if we accept his pardon in the first place, who stands there and actually stands as our lawyer and says, no, those who have chosen me, their sins will be blotted out. However, the gift that they are given is eternal life. And so should we be afraid of that day? It depends on who it is we are facing. Because yes, even those who are Christians and those who know their Lord will face this day with a sobriety, if I can put it that way, with a somberness, with a kind of thing of, yes, our Lord is coming, but also with the idea that, but I hope and I pray that I am ready, not by my own works, but only by his blood alone.
Yeah.
But then also, on the other hand, what we will have to be worried about is if there are sins that we have not confessed, if there are things that we have hidden from the Lord, then, or from ourselves, really, because we can't hide things from God. But if there are things that we have left unconfessed, then we are in danger. But the beautiful thing is first John chapter 1 and verse 9 says this: if we confess our sins, Christ or God is faithful and just to forgive us of those sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So yes, we may have that fear going into it, but let us not fear it because of the fact that Christ is trying to catch us out. No, the whole time he is on our side. So it depends on our relationship with the one who is coming. Mm. If he is our soon and coming King and our Lord and our chosen Savior, then it is a day we look forward to. Yes, with trepidation and with that little bit of, okay, I hope I'm getting ready for that day, that preparation, yes. But to be afraid of that day, because the only reason we should be afraid of that day is if we have not set our hearts right or with God, or if we have not accepted his pardon. I don't know. How do you face that day? Do you look at that day and say, you know, I'm afraid of that day? I don't know. I just like to ask.
Well, I've not really, thought of, the events of the day itself. I've really thought about what's going to happen to the leading to that day. And, of course, there's quite a number of things that are going to be happening, before that day. So quite interesting. And I must say that you are correct. If you're trying to live right and obeying God, there shouldn't be anything to worry about. Really, it should only occur when one is, of course, very knowingly, fully, that they are not doing anything that is according to God's will. But then, hey, we'd never know, because only God is the judge. So you may think that you're doing right in your own eyes, but in God's eyes. But then, as well, I like a thought that says he winks at the times of ignorance. So if you didn't know, God does not take you to task for what you did not know. So I think that's my view, on that.
Yeah. Mm. And I love what you have said over there. That actually reminds me of a verse that says that, you know, God is not willing that any person should just perish and be left out. I mean, Does he take joy in the death of the wicked? No, he doesn't. Mm. He actually would rather that those who he's long suffering, and he's waiting for those who are actually, who have maybe gone astray, that maybe just somehow they may be able to be drawn to him. And he keeps longing for that time. And so we may sometimes go like, wow, but I'm completely lost. I think God is just waiting for the day, he's waiting to give me what I deserve. He's like, no, the whole time, all I'm trying to offer is grace to my children. And so he longs to have us with him. And that's all he's been longing for this whole time. And so let us confess what we have done wrong, so that we may be able to draw closer to him. So that day is not a day that we fear, but rather a day that we long to see our long lost friend, or not long lost friend, but our friend who we have not seen for so long.
Oh, beautiful. Quite a mouthful. Thank you so much, my elder. It's been a fantastic one. Indeed, there is a judgment day. Blessings to you, my elder.
Thank you so much. You have a blessed day.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.